Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Menopause Sisters Show, where our host, Nancy Monroe, co-creator of Cool Cami, the only camisole designed to give women relief from hot flashes, and Laura Dankoff, nurse practitioner and author of Seeds for Change, A Path to Health and Healing, will cover topics related to women in various stages of menopause.
All right. Well, Happy New Year, everybody. And I think Laura's going to be dialing in here a little bit, but we've got Colleen on the line as well, correct?
Hello?
All right.
Hello.
There we go. Okay. Technology is great when it works. So I thought, since it's kind of a fresh start for this year, we might actually take a look back on all the shows that we covered a lot last year and just remind our listeners out there some of the advice that we gave them, some of the guests that we had, kind of review that just as kind of a fun way of looking back and then looking forward to 2017. So let me first just ask each of you, was there a favorite show of yours that you recall from last year?
Oh, I think the one that was not too long ago with the gal from New York that knew Jackie Kennedy.
Yeah.
I thought she was very interesting.
Yeah, I did too. I just the whole fact that, like, you trained Jackie O with Carolyn Kennedy? Oh, my gosh.
That
was fun. But then also Barbara Hanlore, the whole moon cycle.
Right.
Interesting too.
Yeah, that was a concept that I think a lot of us haven't ever thought about, really.
And the more she talked about it, I'm like, wow, duh, that makes perfect sense, you know?
Exactly.
I was going to say
some of our speakers on nutrition and hormone harmony and talking about romance and menopause. So, you know, all of our guest speakers that we've had on the show have been great.
Yeah. No, it's and it's funny because, you know, you think, oh, how much could you talk about this topic? But obviously we found quite a few things to talk about. That just impacts all of us. And it's a very holistic, you know, it's just not one element. It's not one symptom. It's kind of the combined elements of all these things.
Yeah, and we are not shying away from the controversial parts of menopause either, you know, talking about mammograms and hormone replacement therapy or not to do hormone replacement therapy, and just some of the, you know, the pros and cons around doing those kinds of things. And we've talked a lot about, you know, the importance of nutrition, you know, not just in menopause, but at any time. And, you know, oftentimes women, you know, if they seek help from their healthcare provider regarding their menopausal symptoms, they're often handed antidepressants or sleeping pills or anxiety medicine. You know, I think the biggest thing that kind of came out of the past year was talking about other means to address these various symptom complaints that women have. And the benefits of looking at even Eastern medicine and how that can help women with the symptoms of menopause. We had, I think, an acupuncturist on the show a while back speaking to us. So there's lots of things that I think we learned as well, you know, through our conversations with each other and these guests that we've had on the show. And hopefully this has helped a lot of women out there just kind of navigate through some of the issues that they're facing in menopause And just their overall health as well.
Yeah, it's funny because I got a call the other day from a woman that bought Cool Cami. And she says, well, I work the bed, which is not what I actually designed it for. And she says, but, you know, I still get, you know, occasionally I'll get, you know, continue to get hot. I said, well, you really need to use the Cool Me mats because those were designed really for bedtime because they're thicker and they last longer. And she says, well, send me your card because I'm going to go see my doctor. And the first thing they wanted to give to me was sedatives or, you know, medicine for this. And she says, it can't be the only response that somebody has in the medical field for women that are having issues with sleeping. And she says, you know, I just want to spread the word about this product that you've designed because, you know, I don't want to take medicine. And it's unfortunate that, you know, we're a small team here that we're trying to get the word out of these different alternatives because, you know, there's probably more doctors than not that just immediately go to that quick fix.
And
it's very unfortunate.
Yeah, I would really.
The listeners out there, spread the word.
And I think that's the one thing that we've tried to focus on. And both, you know, those of us that are in healthcare, we see this day after day where the quick and easy solution has just been, well, here, let me write you a prescription for something. And I think with the, I would like to think and hope that with the, all the publicity about the, you know, narcotics being overprescribed, antibiotics being overprescribed, that they're going to get to the point where they will talk about antidepressants and anti-anxiety medications and sleeping aids being overprescribed. I think in England, I mentioned this a long time ago, I saw just a brief date on the news that in England, before a doctor can write a prescription now for an antidepressant, the patient has to have gone through talk therapy. And because they found in a study that antidepressants, talk therapy was just as important for like stage one and two or however it's categorized of depression or anxiety. And medications really aren't necessarily beneficial until you get to stage three or, you know, to that higher level. But they need to have tried these other methods first. And granted, there are people, you know, who have chemical imbalances and different things, so they truly need these things. But I just see so many people that in their list of medications, it's terrible. We have members in my family who are on things, and it's like once you're on them, you can almost never get off of them because of the withdrawal,
right.
Because of the withdrawal symptoms. So I would like to think that in the last year or so, we have given more women courage to have a voice when they go to their healthcare practitioner and say, no, I don't want this pill. I'd rather try something more holistic or natural first. And if that doesn't work, then, you know, then maybe I'll think about taking a prescription medication. I hope that it will get to the point in our healthcare where they will talk about decreasing the use of anti-anxieties, antipsychotics, you know, those types of medications for something that may be temporary, hopefully we've opened those doors a little bit here.
Yeah, and along that line, earlier we had on with Lisa Measles, about, she was a nutritionist, talking about the healthy gut, and that is so important. I mean, if that, you know, and I've brought that up many times, is if our nutrition isn't good, then your hormone balance and your mental health aren't going to be as good either. Hardest things is, you know, say you have somebody that's doing all that and they're still symptomatic. And that's where some of these other therapies and things may be helpful.
Well, you've said before, food is medicine.
Yeah, that's very, very true. And, I mean, that goes all the way back to Hippocrates, you know, the father of medicine. But they're not even learning about nutrition in medical school. I mean, they get a short lecture, though. I think it was Tulane University. There was a story on the news earlier this week that they actually have a, it might be an elective or a required, I can't remember, course on healthy cooking. So they have to actually take a cooking class. And so a few programs are doing that. So you just hope that that exposure will stick with them and realize the importance of nutrition to their patients. I still to this day, in fact, I even heard it again yesterday, where I'll have patients come in and they'll have been told by their doctor or the specialist that they're seeing for a particular problem that what she had breast cancer. That what they're eating has nothing to do with it. That sugar doesn't have anything to do. I'm thinking, what are you talking about? There's so much research. Yeah. I'm thinking, I mean, it's just insane that I'm still hearing this, that food has nothing to do with it. It has everything to do with our health. So
everything to do with it. Yeah.
Yeah. So still hearing that. Which is unbelievable, but it's still out there. But the inflammation caused by sugar is, the research is bearing out that this is the new tobacco. You know, like tobacco was so controversial. And so, well, smoking doesn't affect your health by the smoking industry. Well, all the food industry is saying, well, sugar doesn't, you know, it doesn't affect your health, you know, and they're putting sugar in absolutely everything. And when people start looking at the labels of food, you know, things they think, well, this doesn't have any sugar in it, and they look at the label and think, oh, my God, it's got sugar in it. It's just, unless you're making things yourself, you almost can't get away from hidden sugars in food, which creates so much inflammation in the body. So sugar or food does have a lot to do with it. So if you have a provider telling you it has nothing to do with it, you know, maybe you need to go elsewhere, you know. So.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Well, that's why I put that last week after New Year's, I put that recipe that I found from somebody else, a detox recipe. And it, you know, it's beets, carrots, celery, parsnips. And then with the kind of the new, it's not new, but some people just now finding out about turmeric, kind of that spice that tends to have a lot of good health qualities. But this, you know, if you made this detox kind of soup and had this for, you know, a couple of meals or one of your meals for a week, you know, it's certainly going to, it's like medicine. You know, like when you were sick, we gave you chicken soup. Well, why did they do that? Why was chicken soup something that your mother or your grandmother would give you when you were sick? There's properties in there in the broth that, you know, kind of help rebuild something that you were losing from being ill.
Some of the other things we talked
we
about,
also,
you know. I was going to say we talked about
two workshops, though.
So
other than our show, we actually did two workshops. And one of them was a half day, and the other one was a full day. And the women that came to that just, you know, I think they really got a lot out of it. It was, I think, what they got out of it was also seeing other people going through certain issues in their life. And the guest speakers that we had at the workshop kind of addressed a holistic approach to health and living. And I think they all just walked away with their spirits raised and enthusiastic about stuff, but just knowing that there are other alternatives out there.
We also talked about things I'm sure women don't hear much about, is the power of the mind and your outlook and even different types of ways to improve your way of thinking through various healing modalities or energy work. You know, Angie talked about Reiki and Colleen about healing touch, and we touched on meditation and yoga and those kinds of things, which are all just as beneficial for the relieving the stress of dealing with menopause.
Yeah, and I think what's interesting, though, is that a lot of this really kind of laps over, not just for women in menopause, but for everyone. I recently have a family member who is dealing with stress issues and I think was put on medication. And so, rightly or wrongly, I sent that individual a letter with suggestions about, you know, maybe some other things he could be doing to maybe deal with whatever it is that's bothering him. And again, like you said, look at the nutrition. And because I know that his the diet this person's been eating has not been all that great over the last couple of years. But anyway, so I do, you talk about supplements and things like that. I just had somebody at work yesterday tell me, I had somebody who was getting sick quite frequently and has a lot of allergies and eczema kind of thing. And she said, oh, she said, I want to tell you, she said, I love astragalus.
Oh.
And she had told her allergist about it. And as unfortunately, as a lot of doctors do, he poo-pooed it and said, well, there was really no research that shows its effectiveness. And I found this interesting. And here's where we get the conflict of information. And he said it was, well, he'd come across something that was maybe helpful in people with cancer, but yet our sister, who was diagnosed, when I suggested it to her, to be, you know, I was like, well, maybe you should start taking this to keep your immune system built up. Her oncologist had told her, no, she couldn't take anything like that. Mm-hmm. So well, there's conflicting information out there, but she's very happy that I told her about it. And she has not been getting sick where normally she would have been getting sick and picking up every cold and flu that went around. So I think it's good that. What's that?
What did you say she was taking?
Astragalus. It's a Chinese herb. It's been around for centuries. And I get it at the local nutrition shop in Marshalltown. It's one of the only place I can go get it. You can order it online, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, nice. We have used, I came across it years ago, and I've often referenced Dr. Andrew Weil as sort of my online go-to doctor, although I'm kind of liking Dr. Axe also for essential oil information. But several years ago, there was a shortage of flu vaccine. And I have a brother-in-law who at the time was traveling overseas a lot, very susceptible to picking up germs and everything. And so I suggested it to them, and because he couldn't get a flu shot that year. And so we've just been using it and have been absolutely a strong believer in if you're very susceptible to picking up every germ that goes around, to just taking it on a daily basis throughout cold and flu season. But anyway, so yeah, it's really good. And if you don't want to get them. So I think a lot of the things that we've talked about have been things that people can take away with them to use in other areas of their life or use with their family members or their mm-hmm. friends, even if they're not going through menopause.
Right. We actually did a show on being proactive to defend yourself against the cold and flu. So if you want to listen to that show, because I can tell you this week I've seen a ton of that in the clinic. It's certainly going around. But we did do an episode. So if you go to menopausesisters.com and go to the radio show episodes and scroll on down, you'll see that episode. And there are links to three different herbs to protect you. One is apicore, one's echinacea, and the other is astragalus or astragalus, depending on how you pronounce it. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. And just being one of the ones you also talked about is being your own advocate. You know, when you go to the doctor, have stuff written down, have questions written down, make sure they know that you have questions when you're scheduling your appointment.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, not being intimidated by them kind of rushing in, and, you know, you're very vulnerable and you're sitting there in that paper gown. You're just like, okay, what the hell?
Right.
It's funny, I just had a physical. Good. Colleen, you were saying something?
Oh, okay. I was just, you know, yeah, that goes back to, you know, presentations that I did with another coworker several years ago. We were talking to senior citizens, but it's really applicable to anybody, because most doctors, unfortunately, have to practice corporate medicine, which is you have, 19 minutes or 19.5 minutes or whatever to spend time with this patient and move on to the next one. And so, yeah, you go with your list of questions and concerns, and when they walk in and it's like, how are you doing? Well, fine, but I said, I have these. Do you have time to go review this with me? So the thought was that you basically get on their agenda the moment they walk in the door. And if they don't have time or they brush you off, then maybe you need to find another healthcare provider.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And I was saying, I went for my physical a couple months ago and mentioned, I was asking for, she was writing up the order for just doing the blood work. And I said, well, I'd like to have my hormones checked. She's like, well, there's a specific reason why. I said, well, I have no idea what my levels are. You know, and I'd be kind of curious to see if I'm estrogen dominant or whatever. And I said, you know, I have hot flashes, but I said, well, I invented something for that, and I didn't go into detail. And then she's checking my chest breasts, and she paused, wait a minute, what did you invent? And I told her about it. She's like, oh my gosh, that sounds amazing. She's like, well, I'm not at that stage yet, but. You know, I certainly see a lot of patients that are suffering from that. And I say, well, here's my card. You know, want to share information or take a look at on my website what it's all about. But, you know, it's like I said this, you know, so it's like you wonder what they hear sometimes when you are in there and how much they actually digest. It's just from, okay, I've got this to do, this checklist, and off I go to the next patient.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's very true, because there's so many requirements and levels of requirements that have to be documented now with all the heavy regulations in the healthcare industry that it's quite honestly, it's coming between the patient and their provider, and it's, to me, it in some ways can affect the quality of care, because you're very busy trying to meet all these requirements without getting dinged and penalized.
Yeah.
At the expense of the patient a lot of times, because you have to click a lot of boxes before you even actually get to why are they there in the first place. I mean, it's just really gotten out of hand.
Yeah.
There needs to be a simplification of what's going on. I think I understand aspects of it that need to be there, but at the other hand of that is I think it is impeding. It's in the room with you on every visit. You've got the insurance company and the government in the room on every visit. They're the big brother in the room with every patient.
Well, that's why, you know, if you go to some people that, like acupuncturists or massage therapists, you know, that aren't really being paid through an insurance provider, you know, getting cash up front or on the spot, it's like, well, some people are willing to pay that because they know they're going to get and sincere advice that's not being influenced by all these other outside factors, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And anymore with some of the insurance plans and deductibles, you're paying for that office visit anyway. A lot of people, you know I do. I walk in the door and I know I'm probably going to, if it's not for a preventative thing, and really right now it is the insurance that I have, currently have, if I have to go to the doctor or go to somebody, I'm going to have to pay the whole amount directly out of pocket until I meet the deductible. So, you know, if you're paying for it anyway and you're not really getting anything in return, you're covering it. So I think maybe that's going to make people more interested in seeing people who are not going to be on a stopwatch when they go in for whatever. And I know our doctor that we go to, we're not real sure how good he would be in a tough situation, but just for normal stuff, you know, it's him and another doctor in practice together. It's not corporate medicine. He comes in and it's almost like he's got all the time in the world, which of course I know it doesn't. But
right.
You don't feel
that's unusual.
Yeah, it is unusual
that
these two are in practice by themselves. So, but I think people maybe as time goes on, but you still see people's reluctance to pay for things like your cool Cammy Nancy. I have one of my coworkers recommended it to her sister who is going through a similar thing that our sister's going through, and is suffering from hot flashes. And she certainly, from what my coworker says, cost is not an issue. But people somehow are, okay, yeah, you tell me about that. And then they won't take that next step. For whatever reason, they will not take that next step.
Right.
And I can understand that at some point. I mean, I would love to get a massage once a month. Oh, heck, I'd like to get one every week. But, you know, probably I find it a little cost prohibitive. I did get a gift certificate for one for Christmas. So I need to take advantage of that soon. But,
when we win the lottery, that's what we'll do. Okay, well, on that note, I think we're going to wrap up this show for today. Had a great review of last year and a great guest that we had on. So looking forward to a very productive and fruitful 2017. Thanks, everybody.